Okay, good morning. I'd like to welcome back familiar faces, new faces, old faces, recurring faces, all types. And Harvey, funny faces. Baruch Hashem, we get together to do another week, and I think this is now the fourth installment. Coming up to the fourth week now, in the Shloshim of the Chmalzan, or the Kedoshim, or the Yidden that died on Shmini Atzeres. And we focus to share each week on different halachas pertaining to Eretz Yisrael at war. We've had collections of halachic shalas, which are notable during wartime. This week too, but in particular, what we want to focus on is the schos of the mitzvos of tzitzis and tefillin. And really, what you see in Eretz Yisrael right now is absolutely unprecedented. For sure in modern times, and who knows how long this goes back to. The Baruch Hashem, the response that the Jewish world in general has had to the sakana of the Yidden Eretz Yisrael, and really the sakana of Jews everywhere, is a beautiful expression of chesed, of Avos Yisrael. You see so much. And in particular, there's a reawakening, especially by soldiers who are going out to the battlefield. They understand they're putting their lives on the line. The renewal, the excitement that people have for mitzvos is really, really inspiring. And we'll talk soon about the tzitzis drive, which is an amazing story unto itself. But the general shmiras of mitzvos, which putting on tefillin is part and parcel of that, you're seeing a tremendous uptick. And we really have to be thankful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that to see such a thing. And, you know, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter had the line that a Yid learning in Vilna helps the Shmirah Shabbos in Paris. And really, I think the Baruch Hashem, the Torah world, which has grown to unprecedented levels, really our Torah that's being learned here, and maybe even particular halachas as a schus for the war, for the Yidden at war, everything has a hashpa. And if we could contribute one iota from our limud haTorah to a soldier putting on tzitzis or tefillin, that's such a big deal. That's really, really a big thing. Just to be mitzayer, to build up, like how far reaching is this the shmiras ha-mitzvahs, which are happening. Someone told me, again, I don't know, no specific stats on this, but somebody told me there's no soldier going into Gaza right now that is not wearing a tzitzis and doesn't have a tilm in his pocket.
I heard that also.
And the tzitzis, I'll show you how far-reaching. I was looking up certain different things about tzitzis. I came across, of all places, an article on the page of the Jewish National Fund, JNF, which is not a religious institution. It's a, you know,
trees in Israel.
You're right. I think it's to the left of the Federation, and they're most famously known for planting trees. Well, even the JNF is talking about, you know, the tone of the article was really introducing, even talking about what the mitzvah tzitzis is. And they were saying that so many soldiers are reaching out that they want tzitzis. This is something on a secular Jewish website is talking about the mitzvah of tzitzis. It's quite amazing. And there's a fascinating shaila that was posed to Rav Asher Weiss. I'll start with the shaila, then we'll go through the halacha how to bring it about, is that when the war started, and everything obviously happened overnight, so there is a campaign even in earlier wars, earlier, not wars, but, you know, operations, where for soldiers to wear tzitzis. We know that tzitzis is a shmira, protects the person, besides the general's chos mitzvah, but tzitzis, l'chavetz chayim, I could jump to that, in Hakdama to Chilak Gimel in the Mishnah Berurah, talks about the idea that every mitzvah, the 248 mitzvahs that we have, is connected an organ of a person. A person has 240 limbs, organs, and every mitzvah, mitzvah saseh, is represented by those 248 body parts. And the Chafetz Chaim writes, you know, we know there are some body parts which are more essential than others, right? If your heart's not working, you're in big trouble. And the Chafetz Chaim uses that to describe the importance of Shmirah Shabbos. Shmirah Shabbos is such an important organ in a person. If you don't have that shuts down, you're in trouble. Tzitzis too, I would think, is a major, major organ of a person. So much so, Chazal say that tzitzis is something which reminds us of all the mitzvahs. There's a connection through the mitzvah of tzitzis to all mitzvahs. So it's a very essential mitzvah unto itself, the shmira of it, and it's definitely a schus for a soldier going into Gaza. Constantly, every moment a person is wearing tzitzis, he's getting a mitzvah. So every moment that a soldier has tzitzis, that's a very big schus and a very good shmira for the person. We'll talk particular stories. So there have been these campaigns to get soldiers to wear tzitzis in the past. And it was a type of thing which generated some degree of participants, but definitely wasn't across the board. This war, again, you can't explain it. There's a lot of emotions involved. But with tremendous Siyat Deshmaya, it seems this idea of wearing tzitzis as a shmira is across the board. Everybody wants tzitzis. And there was a big problem. They called up 300,000 reservists. Besides, I think the number is like 250,000 soldiers that they have available. That's a lot of pairs of tzitzis. There weren't enough pairs of tzitzis. So you see around the communities, different communities were making tzitzis and shipping them off. They were still short. Thousands and thousands and thousands of tzitzis. So the Shiloh already, I heard the Shiloh probably over 2 weeks ago. The Shiloh was posed to Usher Weiss. It says, we don't have enough tzitzis. We're trying to get as many as possible. But okay, even when we get the begadim, the tzitzis, we need people to make them. We're short people to make tzitzis. Normally, you buy a pair of tzitzis in the store. If I told you it was made by a woman, made by a child, parts of it were made by a guy, you would say, I want my money back.
Machine.
Right?
Also machine.
Yeah.
Machine made.
So the question is, in dire circumstances where we need people wanting to wear tzitzis, we don't have enough tzitzis. Can tzitzis be made by others who are not normally qualified to make tzitzis? That was a show that was posed to Rav Usher Weiss. I saw the clip, someone sent it to me. Rav Usher Weiss says, I'm recording this Psak Halacha on a video because I'm not sure if it was in writing people would believe it. He said, I'm giving my full haskama that tzitzis could be made by women and children because of the matzav.
Did he say any women and children or from women and children?
So, yes. So we will see in a moment the basis of that halacha, where that's from. Yes?
Will those tzitzis still be fine once we're done?
Yes, great question. So let's see. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, this is Aruch Chaim, Siman Yudalad, Yad. Tzitzis also in a Yehudi possible. If a guy, a Gentile, will make tzitzis, it's possible the Chsiv Dabar B'nei Yisrael. Pasuk says, speak to the B'nei Yisrael, Afugei Yehudi. So that's black and white. Or we'll see in a moment. Perhaps not. V'ishak Shero L'asosan. And a woman is kosher to make it. The Mechaber writes that beferish. However, Hagav Yesh Machmirin. There are those that are Machmir Lahatzuch Anashim Shiasosan. That specifically men should make tzitzis. V'tov Asos Kain L'chachila. And that's best to do that L'chachila. So already from the Mechaber you see two things. In the Shulchan Aruch you see two things. Few things. You see that an Eino Yehudi doesn't work. You see that a woman, there's room to be mekel. Mechaber writes Kshera. The Ramah says, Tov lasos kein l'chachila. It's best to do that l'chachila. Okay, for in the B'dievet situation, we have no choice. Perhaps there's room. And the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, is not directly discussed. And what about children? So let's read the Mishnah Berurah. Now, I'll quickly run through the Mishnah Berurah over here. Mishnah Berurah and Aleph writes, what does it mean, tzitzis that are made? Perish, etilim bebeged, pasul afil b'Yisrael, omed al gabav, v'mdeel lasul sishma. The big issue here is making the tzitzis l'shma. Tzitzis have to be made l'shem mitzvah tzitzis. So, the halacha of making these tzitzis, putting in the beged, really tying the knots, which we'll see in a moment, I'll elaborate on, that is possible by a guy, even if there's a Jew, omid al gabav, that won't work. The ilo im tava min Yehudi al shizran, but opens that kosher al rush. Just to make the actual strings, to produce them, yeah, that would be okay. If a guy would do that, v'davkim tachl b'knaf also chulios or kasher rishon. Right, he can't put it on the corner. He can't make the kasher rishon, the hole of the kasher rishon. Avam chulio v'akasher rishon also yisrael. The Shabur writes a kula, but if the hole, the kasher rishon, was made by a Jew, then yehudi gomer shara chulios v'aksharim. The ina rak la mitzvah ba'alma, kosher. Kosher is b'dievin. But practically speaking, very interesting. As long as you make the kesher rishon, you tie it to the baged, and you make the kesher rishon, technically speaking, it's kosher b'dievin, Chavetz Chaim writes, you can have a guy make the rest. Now, right now in our Zohar, they don't have too many guyim there. Don't let them in. But Lamaisa, and once you add to the workforce children and women, hopefully that'll be enough to be sufficient to produce all those tzitzis. So Rav Asher Weiss's psak was women and children. But there's even room to be makel for a guy. For sure we'll talk about making the other parts, manufacturing it. But the real issue with tzitzis, the lishma of tzitzis, is the issue mostly with the strings. So once the kesher rishon is made and it's attached to the beged, the extra strings, which is also why if they get unwound, which commonly does happen, tzitzis are still kosher. So the rest of those knots, if they're made by an Eino Yehudi, would work. The top one.
Just one knot.
Yeah.
One
corner. Yeah, on each corner. Now,
that's when it becomes kosher, and that's until it's kosher, when it starts unraveling?
So, when it starts unraveling, it's still kosher.
All the way up to there?
Yeah. Now, lahatrich, right? So, we said that you need to have, the Mechaber wrote, you could have a woman make it, the yesh machmirim, to have dafka men. And Chavetz Chaim explains that shita of the Rama would be afil omen al gava lo mahani shim deksiv bnei Yisrael va'asu mas v'gam l'muti b'nos Yisrael. So there's room for a drasha, the same way that a guy is excluded, so too a woman is. Okay, but Chavetz Chaim adds the next one. Davka tzli bebeged avol tefil v'ashizira muter adei nashim. Once again, the manufacturing of the twirling the tzitzis, making the tzitzis, that would be okay to be done through women. Now, before Rav Asher Weiss's psak, I did see someone showed a picture of some Hasidish institution where they had on one floor the women, working on the begadim, and on the bottom floor they had the men working on the knots. So that's also black and white here. That's easy. That's for sure allowed. The Tov Lasos, so the Chafetz Chaim writes, it's Tov to be made by, L'chachila, by men, not women. The Chafetz Chaim brings in, V'chein roi v'nachon shol vasel l'chila atalas atzitzias bebeget shol gadol aidei katan pachas miyuk gimel shana. Ideally, you should not have a child makes tzitzis. Again, it's not in the Mechaber, but the Chavetz Chaim adds that ideally you should not have a katan make tzitzis. But once he's 13, then it's mutar l'chachila, skipping a line, v'artos achayim mikol afil l'chachila de katan. The artos achayim was the malbum. He allows, the Chavetz Chaim brings this, to be made all day katan. He writes, "Zechose dafkav gadol omin al gabov, v'lan delas el sashma." Right, it'll only work with a katan if it's omin al gabov. But vavachi afil mkvaritil makatan beged, you have to take it off. So, if you go through the halacha here, what it comes out is lechachila, it shouldn't be made by a woman. But obviously, in a challenging situation like now, you need thousands of tzitzis to be produced. And doesn't seem like there's manpower to do it. Okay, great. So you can have women make it. That works. Even a katan, you look here in the Mishnah Berurah, right? You need omen al gabav. But the artos achayim, the malba matters that. Chavetz Chaim brought that down in the Mishnah Berurah. So I see where Rav Asher Weiss is coming from, that in such a shas atzarech, if we're stuck, we don't have manpower. Yes, tzitzis could be made, the knots could be made fully by a woman, and the knots could be made fully by a child.
Omer Gav, does that mean by a child, like a man, or a boy over this age would have to be watching him, or a woman could also be watching him?
Good question. Pashup shot, I would think a man. But yeah. But I wonder. It's an interesting, very interesting question. Especially for manpower issues, if we don't have men around.
If the Mishnah Berurah has already clearly said that it is tov, it's preferable to do it for a man to do, but clearly is saying shas dechak a woman or a childhood, what is the Rav Weiss adding?
Because very simple. Nobody does this. That's why he had to publicize it too. Is you're right. We don't know if you bought a pair of tzitzis and someone told you one made it, you'd go back and get a full refund. This is not done. But Lemaisa, you're right. It's not done because we're not usually in that situation. Right? Tzitzis is a business. Okay. You sell it, you make money. There are people to make it. Right? Rabbi Olowick was here for Shabbos. He's saying he knows of a Yid who's in jail in Israel, and he makes money selling and making tzitzis.
Instead of making license.
Right? Right. Instead of making license plates in Eretz Israel, they make tzitzis. So normally there's no shortage. So it's just unheard of to have women and children make tzitzis for adults. But L'maisa, you're right. Right? That's why I went through the halacha. Once I heard the psak from Rosh Weiss, you go through the halacha, there's clearly room to be mako. But again, on a normal circumstance, we wouldn't be. Yes.
Pre-war, purchasing a Palestine, basically the price in Israel was about one third of what it is here. But my question is, you haven't heard of any, or at least I haven't heard of any big drives, chutzpah arets, for people to make tzitzis and send.
Oh no, they have been.
Yeah.
They have been. Yes.
Yes. Have you heard them? Like,
I was in a restaurant. It was asking about. You'll hear about people doing it. Like, the Talmidim over here are thinking about it. They find that they still need. I have a Talmud in New York area, in New Jersey, who is very big in this whole project. And I think he was involved in this, you know, a few years ago before it was the wartime. But I think the next layer of a project really should be is enlisting everyone in Eretz Yisrael to wear tzitzis, and everyone in America to wear tzitzis. Not just the people on the battlefront, but everyone. The more appreciation of this, and we'll see. Yes.
So you said that tzitzis is equivalent to all the mitzvahs. Does that take away? Should one take away from his learning yeshiva or kola?
Right. It's a very good question.
And then you eliminate.
I was waiting to see if anyone will hit on that. Is why is there a manpower shortage? There are lots of men who are not in the army. Yeah, but those people, a lot of them are sitting and learning. We wouldn't normally say that to be mevatel learning to make tzitzis.
Except in this case, it's yeshiva yaday acher.
It's okay.
To an extent.
But yeah, it's a little tricky. It's a little tricky. Right. But I definitely hear, you know, the. Okay, let's see if there's avenues to deal with it. But hold on. So I think this is a good presentation. So far, just the issue of making tzitzis for soldiers, the heter that Rav Asher Weiss paskened, I think there's clear sources for that in the Mishnah Berurah. What I haven't been able to find clear sources about, and it bothers me a little bit, has anyone seen what a, just a couple of weeks ago, Alan is trying to order one of these from the seat of that couch. But anyone seen what the bulletproof vests going around our store look like nowadays? The bulletproof vests are something it looks like you've put over your neck. It's not like a vest that you wear when you go in the water. What they are really looks like a beged of tzitzis, a four-cornered beged. You put it. Right, you put it, no. Right? Okay, that's the last common denominator. Right? Is you're putting something which has straps on the side, but you put it over your head, and the beged itself, the armor itself, looks to me like it has four corners.
So you can put tzitzis on it.
But if the straps are far enough down, wouldn't that close it off? And
it could be round.
Huh?
The straps are far enough down to keep it in place, it probably
okay.
Negates the four corners.
Interesting issue. So the shiloh that I had was, is the bulletproof vest chayv in tzitzis? And I tried to see if anyone was discussing this. But, okay, Rachmil, you're bringing up interesting points, depending where the straps are and how it's closed. So maybe it's no longer viewed as a four-cornered baguette.
Closer to home, if somebody buys a new suit jacket, sometimes it has four corners. The front opening of the jacket will have two corners, and the back you'll have the one slit. Two
okay,
more corners.
It depends how
but those are only
well it goes up,
front,
right.
But those are only a couple inches high.
Right. But this is something you're literally putting over.
So I'm saying the straps
right.
Do the same thing.
Of what I've seen of these vests, it's something you put over your neck. And it, to me, it looks like it has four corners. Now, it could be even the corners around it. That itself would exempt you from tzitzis. But I don't have one here. Maybe when Alan comes back, he'll show us what he got. Knowing Alan, he'll probably leave it there. But for someone else.
Yeah.
But tell Alan I want to see his bulletproof vest. Correct. And you don't have to wear it. You don't have to put tzitzis on it. But I wonder, you know, even that itself, you know, they didn't have to do it this time like that. You know, they had, for army regulations, the beged, I think they insist on having a green beged. Fine. But, you know, they put tzitzis on it. But I wonder, you know, people are doing it. But you know, imagine you give a guy, you know, here's your bulletproof vest with the tzitzis. You know, the message is even clearer what's about.
The t-shirt tzitzis.
Yes.
Okay.
So we know,
yes.
We know that if you're in a desert and there's one cup of water and two people, you take the cup of water yourself because you're not supposed to die, you're supposed to live if it's your cup of water. What happens if there's one pair of tzitzis and you have a soldier there who's about to go to battle and your choice is either you wear it or you give it to the soldier and let him...
See, that's a beautiful story. There is a story of a yid who went to the... who went down south to the soldiers and he brought with a food package. And this is mamish like... L'tzom l'mayim kim l'shma d'var Hashem. That the words of the Navi come to life. The soldier said to him, thank you very much. I don't want your food. Do you have tzitzis? So he said to a firm person going to the border to bring, and the firm person, you know, he his wife sent him with food to give to the soldiers. He had tzitzis, but without thinking for a second, he went, unbuttoned his shirt, took off his tzitzis, and gave it to the soldier. Because now that's an interesting step, right? The ma'aseh, you have a mitzvah, now he doesn't have it. The way it works with tzitzis, we know the mitzvah is when you wear a four-cornered baguette, you have to wear tzitzis,
right?
If a person doesn't have a four-cornered baguette, technically speaking, halacha, you don't need to wear tzitzis. We wear tzitzis to be mekayim the mitzvah. But technically speaking, if you have a four-cornered baguette if you don't have a four-cornered baguette, you don't have to wear tzitzis. So here I'm taking off my tzitzis. By the time I go back home, I'll get another pair. But in the meantime, I'm giving him the chance to do the mitzvah. Yeah, I'll take off my tzitzis to allow him to have a mitzvah. So that's all part one. I want to talk about tzitzis. Part two, I want to talk about tefillin. And this, now we know tefillin is also a very big schus, and tefillin is a bris that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an os, yes, a little more expensive. And, you know, it's something that we know is a big deal to put on tefillin. What did I just see? I forgot who it was, but I was like, I think it might have been someone who died, you know, there. But they felt it was a schus right before he was... the day before, he put on tefillin for like the first time. It's a big deal. It's a big, big schus. Now, I was minding my own business one night. I walk in there, and a certain person, Rakir, what do you think of this shayla? Someone asked me the shayla. Wanted my opinion. It was a yid who spent Sukkot in Eretz Yisrael. And, you know, he ran to get out. And right before Yontif, and it's probably a good time to do these things, right, if you don't wear tefillin or chalamot, and Eretz Yisrael in general, you don't wear chalamot. The guy dropped off his tefillin by a sofer there, and Eretz Yisrael was planning on leaving, you know, a few days after Sukkot. So he dropped off his tefillin by the sofer. Okay? He had an extra pair, dropped off a pair of tefillin by the sofa.
Check.
You
get checked.
And then next thing he knows, the guy is trying to figure, okay, how am I getting my family out of the country? He wasn't waiting to meet up with his, you know, that pair of tefillin. So he got a flight back. He made it back to America with the tefillin in Eretz Yisrael. The person decided, you know what? Like, they could probably use tefillin in Eretz Yisrael. Now I have an extra pair. Is it Baal Chesed, Baal Tzedaka? He's like, told it, you know, he spoke with the sofer. He says, you know what? I want to, you know, dedicate that pair of tefillin for someone who could use it, especially now it's schus for Eretz Yisrael. So the person said, I'll keep my tefillin in Eretz Yisrael, I'll keep it. Sofer calls him back. He says, okay, I have two tzarchim, two needs. Tell me which one you want me to give your tefillin to. Need number one. A sofer is the best person to know where there's a tzarech for tefillin. It's much like the best, you know, you want to give money to donate a pair of tefillin, give it to a sofer. Sofer says, I have two mitzvah opportunities. One is a secular Jew that through this whole situation decided, no, I want to be mekabel mikanu abo, I'm wearing tzitzis. I'm wearing tefillin. So he's ready to wear tefillin. Assume whoever was osik with him, he wasn't ready to pay for tefillin, but he was ready to wear tefillin. And you could donate this pair of tefillin, the Sofer tells the American, to this Jew who's going to put on tefillin now. Or option B, I know in the army, they're looking for pairs of tefillin. And the head of one brigade told me that if I have a pair of tefillin, he would give it to everyone in the brigade to put on. Wow. Which one should you choose? Now, if he was a depending on his financial status.
Write the check for the second pair.
Right. I'll pay for both. Right? It could be the Sofer didn't have so many other pairs on, you know, available. But this is the question that the Sofer asked American. American didn't know what to do. So they called. So what would you say? Which one do you pick?
I would say the soldier, because more people would be.
Okay.
Or one person, or a person who's never been able to be mekayem the mitzvah for the first time to be mekayem the mitzvah, and will probably do it forever.
So it was a great question. Great question. So when they first asked me the question, this Rav Shkolo, I said to him, that sounds like a big Shiloh. Like, I don't know, like, answer that question. He's like, my wife told me that one too. Okay, so this is his wife. His wife said, yeah, that's too big for you. You should go ask someone else. So I hocked this question around yeshiva. I got a few different answers. I won't tell you who says what. A couple of people came up with the argument that you should give it to the secular Jew who's decided to put on the phone. And the reason is, they argued, is here a person is ready to do the mitzvah on a daily basis. Mikanel Abba, for the rest of his life, he's planning to put on the phone. That's a huge, huge schluss. The soldiers, okay, right now during a war, you know, they're inspired to put on the tefillin. After the war, who knows what will happen to the soldiers? Who knows if the tefillin will make it out? So you're talking about doing a mitzvah for X amount of time. So, pashtus, don't we look at the long-term effects, right? Like in the kiruv world, like there's a certain thing. I work on one person to be makar with this one person to make him a from yid. Versus give some, you know, discovery seminar to 100 people that will walk in the door and, yeah, do something.
Neither is a bad guy. So you lose out on that concept.
True, but
the guy,
but,
the secular yid
is makabal to wear a tefillin. He's fully makabal, b'leiv shalem, I'm going to wear a tefillin.
And you know that that's going to be discounting that for the rest of his life?
That's what they say where he's holding.
Yeah,
Lamaisa, I'm not sure about that. I hear such a psak. I hear, and there is a svara like that, to invest efforts in the person who, from here on in, is going to do things qualitatively more versus, okay, it's a nice thing. Quantitatively, I could get a lot of people to put on the phone, say a bracha. But I think it's a little stronger than that. If you look in the Chafetz Chaim Sefer of Avas Chesed, the Chafetz Chaim has a very interesting shayla. In Bol Lefanav Harbe Anoshim, multiple people come to you for money. Right? Unfortunately, these questions come up today just as much as they came in the Chafetz Chaim time. The Echem Eim Tzorach Level Sach Meruba, one needs a big loan. But most people come to your gemach only asking for a small amount. If you lend to one person the big amount, you won't have left over to lend all the other people. So what should I do? I have X amount of funds. I have $50,000 in my gemach. I could do 25 to 50 $1,000 to $2,000 loans. I could do one loan for a person of $50,000. then it wipes me out. What should I do?
So the general rule with tzedakah, just giving straight tzedakah, is it's better to give to a lot of little places than one big one. But this is a loan, so it's a little different.
Okay, we'll talk about that. So look with the Chofetz Chaim Paskins. Mutav sheyovel lechalecha samua. It's better to lend to multiple people a small amount. Even the giving the person that big amount. Because each person you're doing is another mitzvah. Now, even though the $50,000 could help a person start a business, could help a person for a much more stability than what a $1,000 loan is going to do, but the Chofetz Chaim is paskening, and he's basing it on the Mishnah and the Rambam, that it's better to give the multiple ones in this. So using that argument, perhaps this would be comparable by the soldiers. That by the soldiers, you're right, you're giving a big loan, a big opportunity for one person to put on tefillin for the rest of his life. But you know what? On a day-to-day basis, right now, there's more people putting on tefillin. Now, even on this halacha of the Chofetz Chaim, remember I said it over to somebody, he said, but what's pshat in the Chofetz Chaim? Is the Chofetz Chaim saying it's better to give that more tzedakah each day, the more loans, because therefore you're getting accustomed to doing more mitzvahs? What we use a lashon, it's like a chenach hamusar idea. It makes you, look, every day I'm giving more and more tzedakah, more and more this. So I'm training myself to do more mitzvahs.
Giving the $1,000 to a whole bunch of separate people is the same mitzvah as giving $100,000 to one person. You still get the mitzvah of tzedakah.
Right.
There's no qualitative.
So, okay, I'll talk to your CPA in a moment.
Also, the second half makes it seem like there's...
One of the highest levels of tzedakah is to set a person up so that they can become self-sufficient.
So
and if you give $1,000 to each person, you're not doing that. They're going to come back again next week. Whereas if you set up the one person, he's done. He's not coming back yet.
The second half of the Moscow.
Right.
That's the whole thing.
Right.
That's right.
And you're right. Right. Mr. Mayor, as Yerachmiel points out, if you read the end of the Chofetz Chaim, he does talk about that if the big money will help a guy, his language is not just set him up, but he won't go into poverty. Right, there's a point, you know.
Maybe he'll become a big donor also.
Right? Love Dafka, big donor. He's about to go over the ledge. So if this $50,000 prevents him from going over the ledge, over the edge, so, okay, that would be a reason to perhaps give him that $50,000 over. So, okay, so you see even there are exceptions.
Right.
So maybe qualitatively you could argue this is still better to give the other person. It's clear to me from the Chofetz Chaim, from the other spots, the Chofetz Chaim and Masber this is not an idea just in a chinuch hamusar, that it makes you a better person. Just pure mitzvos. You get more mitzvos when you give 50 people $1,000 versus one person $50,000. You get more mitzvos that way. There is such a thing. So I could hear, perhaps there's more mitzvos by the tefillin for the whole brigade. Someone tried to argue back. No, you look at the years and how much time it comes out.
So there's no difference in the training here. You're giving one... And you're giving one, so
yeah.
It's a different conversation.
Yeah. Rabbi Luban ended up Sarachim. He wasn't sure. He heard both stuff.
I mean, by the whole brigade, it's also possible that after the war, more than one person will commit to...
Right, it could be.
...longer, so then you've already done more. So
right.
Was this an actual Shiloh that really was asked?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Wow, well, surprise. So...
Right. Yeah. The Maisa... It comes out, we see that Baruch Hashem, there's big schosim going on, and, you know, look, I think the best answer to this is find the donor for the other one, too. That's really the best answer. And, you know, Baruch Hashem, there are a lot of Yidden that want to do chesed, that want to help out. And I want to conclude with a story in a chazal. A story which happened on Shmini Atzeres was, we know there are a lot of heroic people that ran into the line of fire. And one of the toughest things that the enemy was able to do was they disabled a lot of the communication. So the Israeli army didn't know what was going on for a while. And really, the communication was a big deal. But you had people who jumped, when they found out about it, they jumped in their cars, Yontif, and ran, you know, to the scene of the crime with guns and this. So there's a story of one soldier who drove mamash from the north down to the south, and he just really had a small gun. He didn't have major ammo on him. And along the way, he saw different terrorists, and he started engaging them, shooting them. And he found a wounded, you know, soldier. He picked him up, took him to a field hospital, picked up another soldier. You know, they were going together, now going around. And at one point, they mamish held off. He was shot at. The other soldier was hit well. He did a tourniquet on him. He was hit, and he basically was able to take out all the people around him. And, you know, he was, but he was lying there on the road. He himself was injured and was stuck. A little bit later, soldiers came, Israeli soldiers came. And they saw him, they saw dead Arabs around, and they saw these two guys both injured. And the soldiers were, you know, he was dressed in civilian clothes. And in these situations, you know who's the good guy, who's the bad guy. Soldiers pull up, they see them, and they see that they're still alive. He was about to get shot. He was like half there. And all of a sudden, when the other soldiers screamed, "Tzitzit! Tzitzit!" They saw that this guy had tzitzis on him. His tzitzis saved his life. They didn't shoot him. He wasn't a terrorist. He's one of us. So there's no shaila that these mitzvos are tremendous schos. I think I have a new deher. Chazal say that when Mashiach comes, Be'ezus Hashem, all the goyim are going to want to be a part of us. The lashon is, they're going to grab onto our tzitzis. So, you know, the original perspective, to grab onto, how many yeshiva bachrim, how many Torah yidin are there, they're going to grab onto all of our tzitzis? But Baruch Hashem, there's more and more tzitzis to grab onto today. And I think it's just grab onto any Israeli soldier. Grab onto his tzitzis and try to be a part of us, but they won't be able to. As Hashem, with the schosim that all things that we do, we should be zochah to see that day when everyone will recognize V'hayah Hashem l'melech ha'kol ha'aretz. Everyone will be part of us, not just protest against us, but be a part of us. They won't be able to. They'll try to grab onto our tzitzis, but they won't be able to catch us. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful week.